Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. On October 31st of 1517, Martin Luther posted his 95 theses on a door of a church in Wittenberg, Germany. And so began what is known as the Protestant Reformation. I'm not sure what Luther thought would happen after he posted those theses. But I think it's probably a fair bet to say that he truly had no idea whatsoever that what he did that day would be the spark that would light the fire that would quite literally change the world. His intent was not to create a new church, but rather to reform the abuses and the errors which had become prevalent in the modern church of that day. His aim, I believe, was simply to start the conversations that might lead the church back to its historical and theological roots. His goal was to drive the church back to the Scriptures. Drive the church back to Jesus. And to do that, he began by calling out those practices that were not derived from, nor in line with, the Scriptures. The 95 Theses dealt with things such as the buying of indulgences to secure a person's forgiveness before God. These theses dealt with the subject of repentance. They dealt with the power of the Pope. Now, later on in the Reformation, Luther would speak and write on things such as grace and faith and Scripture. All of which made me wonder, as I spoke about last week, that if Martin Luther were with us today, what would he write about in our present age? If God were to send him among us, what would he try to reform in the world, but especially in the church today? Last week we talked about the stark reality and the total depravity of our sin, something that the world and the church has completely lost sight of. I think, too, that Luther might be surprised and probably troubled, too, that the church has seemed to lose sight of God's first and greatest commandment, "You shall have no other gods besides me." Now, you may think that such a thesis about returning God to his rightful place as the one and only in our lives might be an unnecessary thesis. But I would assure you that it is as necessary today as it was when God first gave that commandment at Mount Sinai so many years ago. The world, but also the church, has relegated God to an advisory position. No longer does God take center stage in our worship in so many places. No longer is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins preached in every sermon. And no longer is the written and spoken word and the administration of the sacraments the focal point or the high point of our services. For many, the worship is now about entertainment. It's about the music. and the lights and the images and the mood. The church has become a meeting place for like-minded people, a social institution which fulfills our need for community. And the sermons have become nothing more than a time for folks to learn any number of self-help principles for becoming a better parent, how to manage one's money, how to live as a single adult. It's obvious to me that many in the church have lost sight of God's first and greatest commandment, which is that we are to have no other gods before Him, which means that He is never, ever to play second fiddle to anyone or to anything in our lives. You see, God is not simply the opening act. He's the whole show. He is always to be at center stage. To relegate Him to second chair or to an advisory position or to anything other than front and center in our hearts, in our lives, and in our worship is to break God's first and greatest commandment. And thus, if Luther were to be among us today, I have no doubt in my mind that one of the theses that he would write and nail to our door, nail to the door of the church, certainly the church in America, to think about is to return God to His rightful place of honor in our lives and His rightful place of honor in our worship. He would remind us that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to God, inherits eternal life, or can overcome sin, death, and the devil but through Him. Because only He overcame sin, death, and the devil through His suffering and death on the cross. And through His victorious and glorious resurrection from the grave. He would remind us that becoming a better parent, or a smarter investor, or a content single person, they're all good things. But none of those things will get you even one step closer to heaven. And finally, I think Luther, a man who loved music and who wrote music and who called music God's greatest gift to mankind next to Jesus, I think he would remind us that music is never to be the source and the center of our worship, but always and only Jesus. And how does Jesus come to us in our worship? Other than through the spoken and the written word proclaimed, and through the administration of the sacraments. One of the great ethics that we learn as Americans, and I think especially as Texans, is the ethic of self-reliance. You know, the old pull yourself up by your own bootstraps idea. It's a rugged individualism instilled in us from our youth. And it's great for getting stuff done. But it's not so great for trusting in God and for surrendering to God, and for relying on God. For you see, as long as we think that we should, or that we can, do it by ourselves, we are always going to trust in ourselves before we let go and trust in anyone else. And thus we need to hear those ancient words again. Those words that we in catechism class learned so many years ago, and that we in our minds still know so well. The words of God Himself, "You shall have no other gods before me." May those words become for us more than just a commandment to be memorized, but also a confession and a conviction to be lived for the sake of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.